first item is something I think is really a fundamental point that emerges from Parshas Lech Lecha, but you have to look a little more carefully in order to notice it. We know that the infamous city of Sodom Vamora, the other cities nearby, right? Their main focus of what's relevant to us in the Chumash appears in this week's Parsha. Last week, Lech Lecha, this week, Vayera, when Hashem overturns them. And that's a big part of the narrative in Avraham's life and the life of Lot. But after these Parshios, you know, quite literally, they really fall off the map, right? We don't hear from them anymore because there's nothing left of them. They're totally destroyed. Except if you are attentive at the very end of the Torah, they actually come up again, both in Parshas Nitzavim and in Hazinu, by name. In Hazinu, right, Moshe Rabbeinu is sharing the song, the Shura of Hazinu, and he's talking about future times, talking about events that will occur to the Jewish people till the end of days. And in that narrative, he mentions these cities. Talks about different opinions of the Medrash, whether it was Klal Yisrael themselves at their low point or whether it's the other nations. But they are compared. They're compared to the people of Sodom Amora. Kimi Gefen Sodom Gafnam Umishad Mos Amora. It's as if these nations in the future drink the wine. They drink the wine of Sodom. Okay, so now that's one reference. In Nitzavim as well, we find predicting future times. Gafriz Vamelach Srefachal Arza. Losis Arav Losatzmeach Voloyalva Kol Esev. There'll be destruction. There'll be overturning. There'll be sulfur, thank you, burning and raising the soil so it'll be unable to be cultivated anymore. That's a description. And of course, that sounds a lot like what we find in Parshas Vayera when the cities are overturned. And there too, the Torah says, "Kemapecha Sodom v'Amora Admol Tzvayim Sharfach Hashem v'Apo v'Chamaso." It's exactly like the destruction of the cities as we read about in Parshas Vayera. So now, what's interesting is if we're going to compare anybody to Sodom v'Amora, right? So you'd imagine, let's consider what exactly warrants such a description. What warrants such a description is if you have similar averos occurring, you have similar manifestations of the evil of those people, right? So then it's fair to compare them to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? So what do we know about Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah, the people there, they were the antithesis of anything worthwhile in the realm of chesed, compassion, beinam l'chaver, right? It's not a coincidence that Lot ultimately ends up in Sodom. What does Avram say to him? If you go right, I'll go left. If I go left, you go right. In other words, I'm going to be on one end of the spectrum and you'll be on the total opposite end of that scale, right? So if Avram is the pinnacle, he's the paradigm of chesed, right? So wherever Lot goes, right, left, right, he's going to end up in a place which is completely the opposite of the midah of Avram Avinu. So that defines Sodom. All the stories you learn about when you're a kid, right? You ask a 10-year-old what was wrong with Sodom and Amora. It was the way they treated the guests. It was the way they dealt with each other. It was horrible, right? It was atrocious. That's Sodom and Amora. And nevertheless, when you read the Pesukim in the context of Nitzavim, Hazinu, as we just read, there's nothing to do with Bein Adam L'Chaver at all. Nothing to do with Bein Adam L'Chaver. It's all Bein Adam L'Makom. It's all to zero in very specifically. You read the Rashis, and the Pesukim themselves testify that the problem over here is that they did not have a recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's that they did not attribute the world events. They did not attribute things that happen around them to Hashem, which you'd define as a theological mistake, right? Which we would call Bein Adam L'Makom, not Bein Adam L'Chaver. Right? So isn't it strange that when we have to pin down the definition of those who suffer from the same fallacy, from the same mistaken behavior as Sodom Amora, and we throw the book at them for Bein Adam L'Makom, and why Bein Adam L'Chaver, which is the impression you get from our psukim? How do you put this all together? So I think the answer is that we sometimes bifurcate between the two, between Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaver, and in reality, they're much more linked, and they're much more overlapping. How so? When we tell the stories of Sodom, right, as the Mishnah describes in Pirkei Avos, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, right? In other words, whatever I have, I look at as being the product of my own work, my own effort, my own hishtadlus, whatever my business model is, you know, location, 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 whether I'm a shrewd investor, it's me. It's me. So when I look at everything as coming from my own hands, my own efforts, kochi va'utzim yadi asaliya sachayel azeh, as the pasuk describes it, right? So the result is, I'm not going to share anything with you. I'm not going to give anything to you because I worked hard, so you don't deserve it. If you're a schlepper and you can't figure out how to make a parnas on your own, it's not my job to make up for that because it's your fault. A person who recognizes that everything's from Hashem also realizes that whatever they are blessed with, they are more than happy to share it with others because they appreciate there's a mission to be achieved. There's a purpose in why they were given those blessings, and they don't always feel that I deserve it, right? If you see that it comes from Hashem, sometimes look inside yourself and say, wait a minute, like this is, you know, kosi ravaya, my cup runneth over, as the Bnei Melech says in Tehillim, right? This is much more than I deserve, so why do I have it? Must be I have it in order to benefit those who need it.
So it's a holy purpose.
What's that?
So millionaires should pay more taxes?
Not necessarily, but we have holy parameters in terms of how to share, right? And at least when we know it's going from my pocket to your pocket, and you're someone who I should be looking out for, so then we can say that 100% yes. Avram Avinu was not just the paradigm of chesed, right? We know that's true, right? So we could say it's correct because, well, he invites in guests, and, you know, whatever the list is going to contain, it's always, right? It's always chesed l'Avram, right? And he's the one, right? Chesed l'Avram. Yaakov has other midos, other foci, whether it be Emes, whether it be Torah, Yitzchak is Gura. Avram is chesed, but not simply because he was a compassionate individual, not because he was just a giving individual. He was the person who could see, again, the link between Ra'am al-Makom and Ra'am al-Chavero. He was someone who definitely appreciated, attributed everything in this world being from Hashem. Because in a world of polytheism, a world of Avodah Zarah, he was the one who saw God behind the sunrise and the sunset, right? He could recognize Hashem everywhere. Memela, he became the person who said, whatever I have is a blessing. It all comes from Hashem. Of course I'm going to share it with others. Where do we see that he was the one who recognized that everything was from Hashem, that he didn't deserve it? At least 2-3 times in our parashas alone, right? When Hashem says you're going to be blessed with a baby, Yitzchak, that you've been dreaming of, the child that will be born by your wife, Sarah, he says, wait a minute, Lu Yishmael Yechel Fanecha. He says, Hashem, I consider myself fortunate if the son I do have is able to survive, let alone to be blessed with another son. And Rashi says on that pasuk, he says, because I don't have enough schar to even merit that. Hashem has to tell him, Anochi Magein Scharecha. Avram is constantly concerned, maybe I just don't have enough merit to keep on going, right? I just fought a war, miraculous defeat of all these kings. What am I? I'm nothing. I'm an old man. How could I vanquish them, right? Midrash says, he used to pick up dirt from the floor, stones, throw them at people, and they turned into bows and arrows and spears, and they killed the enemy, right?
It was a really good story about that Gamzula Tova.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly. The Gemara says exactly that, right? You do what you want with it, and it's going to work because it's all a miracle. So Avram Avinu says, if you think that I feel I have any right to continue to exist or to benefit from the good graces Hashem, right? I don't believe it because I've given up. I've used all my schar already. Hashem says yes, and it's precisely because you recognize where it comes from. There's going to be more of it. But it was a recognition of this notion that I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. When Hashem tells Avram Avinu at the end of the parasha, you're going to have a son, he breaks out in laughter, just like we find Sarah, right? Sarah is taken to task because she laughs at a disbelief. Disbelief, come on, I'm 90 years old almost. How could it be? Avram Avinu also laughs. But as the uncle tells us, it wasn't a laugh out of disbelief, it was a laugh out of joy. A disbelief that, not that God could do it. Of course he could do it. Miraculously, he can do anything. But a laugh at a disbelief that I should be zoche. Me, little old me, what do I deserve? Right? Oh, so Avram Avinu was the one who accentuated this character trait of realizing that everything is a blessing. I don't really deserve it. So whatever I get, I have to appreciate and realize that Hashem has given it to me for some other purpose. We had a speaker in our shul, Mrs. Michal Horowitz, very popular amongst the women's speaking circuit. And she shared with me just an interesting insight. When Avraham Avinu is offered the spoils of war from the king of Sodom, his reaction is biladai. He says, just give all the warriors, all the members of the army, just give them, you know, pay them back for what they ate. Give them their basic necessities, right? But we're not taking anything. Biladai, you know, as Mepharshim say, I don't need any of it. I don't want any of it. I don't deserve any of it. I wasn't really fighting the war. It's not coming to me. Biladai. Where else do we have that term, biladai, in the Chumash? Not so far from this week's parsha. In Miketz, Yosef is called out of the jail, comes to Paro. Paro says, I hear that you're a great interpreter of dreams. And immediately Yosef's response was, biladai, Elokim yaneshlom Paro. It's nothing to do with me. Hashem can do it. Hashem can provide you with interpretation, but it's not something that I can take credit for. So once again, that term biladai, while Avraham and Yosef were very successful in what they did, but they knew where it was coming from. They knew where it was coming from. That's the meat, and that's what ultimately drives a person to chesed, knowing where their blessings come from. And with that, here's the key. We understand what Sodom and Gomorrah did wrong with their distortion of what chesed could be. We understand what Avraham Avinu got right with his appreciation of the job that had to be done, the responsibility that those blessings provided. Our people, in the last couple of weeks, have seen an unprecedented degree of chesed that has been pouring in from all over the world, devoted to everyone who needs it in Eretz Yisrael. People within the country, people outside of the country. This has been an unbelievable display of chesed, and should continue. It should continue long after the war is over. Because the real test is when we're not under pressure, when we're not under the gun, right? Can we still exhibit that achdus? But here's the key. It's not just about achdus. It's not just about achdus. It is achdus for sure. And we should not, for a moment, overlook or underappreciate the value of the achdus in a global sense, in an eternal sense, but specifically when we find ourselves in a moment, moments of danger, moments of challenge as we do right now. For sure. Am Yisrael Chai is a call to that recognition of the fact that we're all in this together, for sure. But I think we also must not lose sight of another layer that the chesed also has to represent. And it's the one that we just described. If what we've come to understand is that chesed, beyond the unity that it sustains, the unity that it breathes, but it's also very closely linked to Bein Adam L'Makom. So it means whenever we do an act of chesed, whether it be giving money towards the cause, whether, you know, friends of IDF or we're making tzitzis for someone, or we're giving just time and effort to another person, to a greater cause, there's an Adam L'Makom recognition that has to also be at the forefront of our minds. It has to be an appreciation that every talent, every gift that I've been bestowed by the Ribbono Shel Olam is in some degree, maybe not 100%, but sometimes 100%, sometimes 110%. It's been bestowed upon me in order to share it with others, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waging the war, if we really believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waging the war, right? Batem Tacharishon, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, he's the one who's the driving force. And we're buying into that, and we're contributing in ways that our Hishtadlus matters, then Chesed is also a statement in the Am Yisrael Chai that recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one waging the war. If you look at the Rambam makes this very, very clear in his description of the attitude that every Jewish soldier needs to have when he goes out to war. He says something really surprising. It's surprising, but it's also phenomenally empowering. Perek Zayin, Halacha Tezvav, of Hilchos Malachim, Muhammad Sayyam. At some point, not right now, we're going to read the entire Rambam. But after the Jews are giving the charge, of the confidence they have to have in the protection and the hashgacha of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Rambam says something else. He says, don't be afraid. Don't allow any lack of confidence in Hashem's hashgacha to bring anyone down. Not only that, but you should realize what you're doing on the battlefield. Let's read the whole Rambam. He says, Miyaish Ayariv Rach Levav Kimashmo. Torah warns that anyone who's afraid or has a soft heart that won't withstand the challenges of the battle needs to go home. Shein Belibo Koch La'amod B'Kishon Melchama. He's not strong enough emotionally to be able to remain strident and forceful and motivated in battle. May actually Kanis B'Kishon Melchama. But once he's able to make it out to the battlefield, Yisha'in Amik V'Yisrael Moshiach Beis Tzara. He needs to put all of his hope and place his trust in the hope of God, the one who saves us at all moments of persecution and in all narrow straits. V'yid Shal Yichud Hashem Hu Osam Mochamah. This is the key line. And he has to know that the purpose of his war, the purpose of every battle, Al Yichud Hashem Hu Osam Mochamah. What he is defending is Yichud Hashem. It's unbelievable. It doesn't say that you're battling in order to protect the Jews, protect the state. That's all true. On the temporal level, that's true. On the physical level, that's true. But there's an ideological stance that every Jewish war is meant to defend, and that is Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem. What is Yichud Hashem? We discussed this a little bit this week, right? The oneness of Hashem, which we said on one level means, it refers to the absolute dominance of the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence and his will in our universe. Every war against the Jewish people is a war against Hashem. We described this a little bit. On one level it means the fact that Hashem chose us, that's one of the factors that placed a jealousy in the world. The behind anti-Semitism for all generations, the Gemara tells us in Masech Shabbos, Tapiches, is simply the fact that we were chosen and not them. So for an ever and ever, right, this is enunciated very clearly by some of our enemies, right? The desire to...
They hate us because they hate us.
Exactly. I mean, the desire to wipe out the Jews is because, you know, in the same way that Islam emerged out of a belief that God... Rahman al-San changed his mind. That there was Moses. Okay, it used to be Moses, and now there is Muhammad, right? So that is, by definition, that's a war against the selection of the Jewish people to be the promised people forever and ever. The fact that Hashem has sustained us, despite the other religions who have said, no, we're in charge now, right? So that means that they're waging war against Hashem's decision to preserve us throughout all of history to remain his chosen people. So by fighting a war against our enemies, we're also fighting a war against Hashem's enemies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Rashi says that is interpreted to mean that Hashem, our God, who we recognize now as one day in the future he'll be recognized by the entire world as one. And one of the steps along the way in that march of history towards Mashiach is a war like this, where we have to fight for the preservation of the understanding that Hashem is one, and he's chosen us to be his representatives on this world. Mikam Chol Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. The significance of Goy Echad Ba'aretz is the representation of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Not only Ba'aretz, but in Kol Ol Me'olamim. The Echad, right, is one in our world and the seven heavens, and the Arba Kanfos Ha'aretz, the Dalet of Echad. Okay. With that in mind, every act of chesed, when it includes an appreciation of Hashem, I know that everything I have was meant for me to share, meant for me to give to others. Because everything you assign, everything you distribute, everything you provide for every human being, it comes from you with a purpose, with a holy mission of where it is supposed to be shared, where it is supposed to be given, sometimes for me, sometimes for my family, and the rest of the time for all of Klal Yisrael, that itself is a recognition of Hashem, you run the world. You orchestrate every stage in history, every detail of world events, and that recognition is part of what I'm fighting for. So when I do a chesed, I'm helping others directly, absolutely. That's the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro dimension. The Bein Adam L'Makom dimension is also my war effort. My war effort. I may not be fighting the enemy physically, L'man Yichud Hashem, but I'm contributing, I'm acting by giving chesed as a statement of Yichud Hashem. That's also a contribution to the war effort. And when every one of us gives in whatever way we can, in the same way that tefillah, davening to Hashem for success in this war, is a weapon, because praying for the only one who can really make a difference in the war, praying to him, is a statement of Yichud Hashem. Even the chassadim, as demonstrated by Avraham Avinu, as demonstrated by the Rashi we started with, is an emphasis on the Yichud Hashem, an emphasis on where everything comes from. That's also part of the war effort, and towards our hopes that Hashem will see our conviction, our emunah, and that should be a merit behind the war efforts of our brothers and sisters on the front lines.